Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Friends, this statement from Jesus sums up the whole point of Christian life. If you don't lose your life by making Christ the center, not yourself, Christ the center, then you will never really know who you are or who He is. And as a result, you will never reach the human flourishing you were created to enjoy. Yet, how many people today, including us many times, don't realize just how tragic it is when we live for ourselves? We become so accustomed to listening to and believing what our anti-Christian world has to say. That the Christian message, and because of this, the Christian message can easily seem outdated and unreasonable. That's what the culture basically tells us. The world was very anti-Christian during Christ's lifetime as well, which is why he doubles down on the message that we heard last week, using even more shocking language this week. We are called to the most radical intimacy possible with him. And only when we follow this call and live in this relationship do we become true Christians, who we've been created to be. It has always been this way for 2,000 years. But it's so easy to get sidetracked and try to water down the message, making it easier for us to accept. Christ clearly seeks to prevent this from happening when he says, "Whoever loves father or mother," then a little bit later, "son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." This is a tough message, right? These aren't easy words for us to digest. However, the point is not that you can't have a wonderful family life. God gave you your family. He wants you to enjoy your family after all, right? Rather, the point is Christ must be your first priority above everything and above everybody else. Then and only then will your family life be as rich as it should be with Christ in the center. But you can only make Christ your first priority if you stop hiding from the cross, which will always keep you rooted and grounded in Him above everything else. The cross does that for us. Therefore, Christ also says, "Whoever does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me." Not only will you get lost and choose sin over Him if you reject the cross, but you'll miss out on the superabundance of fruits that flow from it. Indeed, the best fruits possible flow from the cross. To be sure, though, this isn't easy. Not at all. Conversion never is. But it is the only way to find true freedom, peace, and joy amidst all facets of your life. To find true flourishing. And we can see from today's second reading, St. Paul, he also wants to make sure that we're aware of what it means to be Christian, to flourish in and through Christ. We have indeed been buried with Christ through baptism into his death, Paul teaches, so that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so too we might live in newness of life. That last phrase is key. We're called to live in a radically different and much more excellent way than we see in the world. All these lifestyles that we see people living. To let the glory of Christ's victory inebriate us and radiate out from us. To be our center and our guide. Now that sounds pretty awesome, right? Sounds like something we'd all aspire to. So why would anyone want to hide from it or reject it? We all do in different ways, some more than others. Paul's final words from that passage today give us a strong clue. You must think of yourselves as dead to sin and living for God in Christ Jesus. The trouble is, we often get this backwards, and we end up living for sin, which makes us dead to God. And as we've already seen, the only solution to this problem is the cross, through which we willingly receive God and his merciful transforming love. This is what Jesus is getting at when he instructs us to willingly receive the authentic, righteous Christian disciples in our lives. And he says, this is equivalent to receiving the one who sent me. That's what he says. You receive me, you receive the one who sent me, which is God the Father. God sends these disciples, these righteous ones, to encourage us to die to sin and follow Christ more completely. Yet we often reject them, don't we? We say, oh, well, this one here, oh, that's holier than thou. Or this one, who are you to judge? Who are you to tell me? You know, all this kind of stuff. Oh, here's goody two-shoes, you know, wants to say, oh, this is right and this is wrong. Or we might say, we might really respect this person and say, they're really holy, they know what they're talking about, but it's just way beyond me. This person, okay, that person can do it, but not me. The truth is that we're all meant to live very different lives than we're now living. We're called to walk the path of conversion. And we simply have to welcome this change, this conversion, this transformation, if we want to honor Christ's call to, and live in him and for him. He's calling us all to do it. And he gives you everything you need to get the job done. And how very beautiful and wonderful it is to discover who you really are and to live as God created you to live. Beautiful, wonderful stuff. Now, the church is chock full of examples of people who learned how to walk this path and became really heroes for us, spiritual heroes for us to look up to. St. Augustine is one famous example. As many of you may know, he lived a very worldly life, a very sinful life for decades. Ignoring the pleas of his very holy mother, she was always by his side. She followed him over the different places. He actually tried to lose her going across the Mediterranean over into Italy, and she followed him. But he ignored her pleas for many, many years. And this is St. Monica, is his mother, by the way. You may have heard of her. Eventually, though, Monica's prayers and God's grace wore Augustine down, and he could no longer resist the Lord. And he knew this was coming for a while. Once he converted, though, his natural brilliance, he was very smart and very articulate. This natural brilliance was brought to a new level, and he became one of the greatest saints of all time. As a matter of fact, his work is the foundation of the liturgy, it's the foundation of a lot of Catholic theology. A lot of the stuff that we know today comes from him. St. Francis of Assisi is another great example. He lived a very worldly life. He was a nobleman in Italy, and his father was a rich merchant, and he had everything he needed. So he lived that worldly life. He was a soldier for a while, all this kind of stuff. But eventually, he just kind of came to a realization and saw how fruitless all of this was. And so he radically gave himself over to the Lord, and we know the rest is history. Literally radical poverty. He gave away everything, and he was one of the founders of a movement that literally changed the world. And the Franciscans are still with us today. Turning to popular culture now, we have a great example in Frodo Baggins, who you may remember, he's the great hero from The Lord of the Rings. He was very comfortable in his life as a hobbit. Remember, he lived in the tree, and he was all comfortable, and he had his hobbit family, and everything was great. But he was called to something much, much bigger than he even thought was possible. But with much help and encouragement, again, here's grace, he gradually grew in bravery and skill and compassion and all these kinds of things, and was eventually able to courageously venture through Mordor into Mount Doom to save the day, to get the job done. As many of you know, I myself have been drawn into this journey of conversion over the past decade or so, maybe 12 years. I had dreamt of being many things, never even thought it was possible that I would become a priest and do the things I'm doing now. I didn't even think I was eligible. It was way outside of the realm of possibility because of how I'd lived my life up until that point. How amazing it is, though. I'm here. Somehow or another, grace won me over too. And it's just so beautiful that new and unexpected possibilities keep opening up for me. Things that I didn't think that I was capable of. The more I give myself to God. And I'm struggling along with everybody else to try to do this every day. But seeing the fruits is really beautiful. Learning who I am too. Okay, friends. The core message has become abundantly clear by now. Always seek to be dead to sin so you can live for God. Never accept the sin in your life. Putting God in the center of your life does not mean that you have to give up family, friends, etc. We talked about that earlier. It does mean that all of your relationships and desires will be lifted up to a whole new level, and your life will be full of adventure. So, do you want more peace and joy in your life? Do you want to experience healing? Do you want miracles to happen? Okay, those are all good. If you want those to come true, then embrace the cross and the transformation that it brings. That's how you can make sure that all those things happen. Come to Mass every Sunday and Holy Day and go to confession at least once a month. You'll notice a huge difference in your life. As I've mentioned before, without regular confession, you'll never be able to peel back the layers of sin, shame, and guilt in your life. And many of these layers, you don't even know they're there. You might say, oh, I don't sin, all this kind of stuff. But if you start coming regularly, that grace opens your eyes and you start seeing, okay, maybe I do have some room to improve. Sin blinds, grace enlightens. Therefore, friends, lose your life for Jesus and you'll find more freedom, peace, and joy than you ever thought was possible. Let the mysteries of God transform you so you can discover who you really are, how loved you are, how amazing you are. Don't believe all those lies the world tells you. And then once you do this, then you will begin to discover what you are truly capable of as you courageously journey forth with God to go out and change the world.